What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another great edition of Smart Mark Talk, brought to you by Elite Wrestling Audio, the only podcast that provides you two boricuas from the Bronx, providing you with excellent information when it comes to the world of professional wrestling. It's your boy, Val Cisco, a.k.a. Lucha Val, and with me, as always, the Tito Santana of the podcasting world, El Matador himself, Jay Rance.
Hell yeah, I like that intro. I like it. I need to get me like one of those little lucha names or like where they handed those out. or I'm about to switch up my handles to like they do The Real or at the
Yes, The Real J Rance. How you doing, buddy?
But I'm good, man, though. I'm chilling, ready to talk some wrestling, some Royal Rumble, everything that's going on in the wrestling world right now. How are you
doing? I'm doing fantastic, brother. Yeah, you made a great point right there. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Royal Rumble. We're going to be talking about next week's card and what it is looking like so far, our predictions, and, of course, maybe some classic tidbits on what we feel about the Royal Rumble and what it means to us, as we usually do with our barbershop conversations. So, I'm going to pass it over to you, sir. Royal Rumble. 1 week away. How you feel, man? This is part of the Big Four. This event is synonymous with WWE. You know, you have Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, and of course WrestleMania. But Royal Rumble usually kicks off the road to WrestleMania. Are you feeling it? Yeah. Are you in it at all? Or are you just at an all-time low with WWE?
Ooh. You see, it sucks that we're at right now in times with this whole pandemic and things of that nature, and kind of where the product is a bit, I won't throw too much heat at the product. I know we're in a time of a pandemic, but it's hard not to feel the WrestleMania vibes. You get what I'm saying? Like with SummerSlam, with Royal Rumble, with Survivor Series, these are big names that are synonymous with big moments. So I can't help to feel excited, bro. I'm looking forward to the Women's Rumble, and I'm looking forward to the Men's Rumble. And the event is always something that's synonymous, and it brings us back to, you know, the old days of Rumble 95 and with the HBK shenanigans. Almost eliminated. No, not. But I'm excited. I'm excited. I've been telling you for like the past 2 weeks. Is it today? And like, no, next Sunday the 31st. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about the Rumble in general?
I mean, the Rumble in general, I always loved the pay-per-view. I mean, I always felt like it's a kickstarter to so many different careers, and it lets you know where the company sees that individual or individuals in the next couple of months and where their place is on the marquee in the event. So I've always been curious to see where the WWE really puts the pressure on when it comes to their superstars and who they see as main events. I love the Rumble, man. You know, started back up in 1988, and where it is today is leaps and bounds its original inception. But you look at, you know, the past winners and the past events, and not just the Rumble match itself, but just like the Rumble pay-per-view in general. Like, I remember one of my favorite ones was Royal Rumble 2002. Yeah, Triple H versus Mankind or Cactus Jack in that street fight. I absolutely loved that match, and that wasn't even the Rumble match itself. That was just a championship match added onto that. Little things like that. You know, Rock versus Mankind. Was that the I Quit match as well too, or was that the
yes?
Yeah, see, look at that.
It was the I Quit match
right there at the Rumble 2000. You know, not 2000, 1999. Excuse me. You know, so many different things. Rumble 2000 with The Rock winning with that whole play on him and Big Show getting dumped out together.
Yeah, I was going to tell you about that. That was the one in Madison Square Garden, right? I remember that for all the wrong reasons, that bikini match. Don't let me stop. But no, I agree with you. My question to you is, since we've been discussing the Rumble outside of the podcast, one thing that I really hate about the Rumble recently, it has turned into like sort of like, I mean, we know it's a gimmick match, but it's turned very gimmicky where you see these oddities come out. When I say oddities, I mean, I don't mean, you know, like you see the legends, you see people of past yesteryears, as opposed to these are spots that can be legit actual talent right now in the prime. Like, do you feel it has become a little bit gimmicky, or maybe that's just me being hard?
I think just like the WWE itself, I believe everything's at a stalemate, man. I feel like, I wouldn't say gimmicky, but I would say that you know how we always say that there's no true stars in the WWE anymore? I still feel like that with the pay-per-views. I feel like the pay-per-views now are not as special as they once were. Maybe I want the gimmicks. Maybe I want the kookiness again in a way. Maybe I just want to feel like a kid again and be taken away to a different place, a different reality where I can separate my mind from this. But at the end of the day, like, I feel the current product right now, or at least the current, maybe like the last 4 years, when it comes to the Royal Rumble or any big time shows, they've been lackadaisical at best.
Okay, I feel you. I get your point, you know. And don't get me wrong, sometimes it's cool to see a little legends. It brings you back to yesteryear. But sometimes when you go from like that filler number where it's just straight fodder, old school, like between the early teens, late teens, we got a Molly Holly or we got a Hurricane. It sometimes gets a little bit under my skin where it can be a legit star. So that's just me, though. But I wanted to get your opinions on it to see how you felt about it.
You know, it's weird because, you know, the Rumble is essentially a glorified jobber match for someone to get over. It is. You have everybody that you know who's not going to win. You know, you go back to the 2000s, you knew that, you know, rest in peace, Grandmaster Sex A and Scotty Too Hot, they weren't going to win. But they were just fodder for people to throw out and whatnot. But then you have like that, you know, a good group of individuals from like maybe 5 to 10 that I believe that you mean in the back of your mind and say, ooh, would this be Kane's year to win the Royal Rumble? Would this be Taker's year? Would this be Kurt Angle's year and whatnot? And that's what drew me in. The unknown of knowing that there's like 10 people there, maybe even like 11 or 12 people there that could possibly win and change the outcome of WrestleMania. That always allured me. I just feel like the last couple years, even with like the introduction with the Women's Royal Rumble and NXT showing up in the Royal Rumble, both Rumbles, I still feel like nothing's believable. Like, not until the last final five people are in the ring.
Yeah.
That's where you're gonna know who's gonna win. But that chance that, ooh, a Keith Lee may make it throughout the whole way if he's number three, I don't believe it anymore.
I agree with you 1,000%. I think that's what's missing in the Royal Rumble. We're missing the you know, the proverbial pull the rug up underneath my feet, like at a number 12 or something where, oh my God, Keith Lee got eliminated, or Keith Lee eliminated Brock Lesnar. You know, usually they already leave the person that's going to win for the last five, like you said, is either 29, 28, or 30. And we need a little bit of surprise. Maybe that's what it is for me as well. I'm glad that you brought that up.
And you know what? I can't even blame the current years, because what I hate the most is like sometimes having my cake and eating it in wrestling. What I mean by that is I hate knowing the outcome, like right off the bat. I remember specifically, I believe Royal Rumble 2006, Rey Mysterio's number two. Will he even make it? Of course he's gonna fucking make it. We all know he's gonna fucking make it. Even if he lasts into the final four, we all knew he was gonna make it. Little things like that kind of grind my gears. Like, I don't know. I get you want to sack the odds on people for storytelling purposes, but sometimes it's so obvious that it hurts a little bit, especially when you're an hour and invested into a match. I miss the days. I really do miss the days of a random person like Alberto Del Rio winning a 40-man Royal Rumble and like it being like, what the hell just happened? Like, why? Why was that decision made? But okay, cool. Like, you're going a different direction. Let's do it. I miss those days.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's almost like every other match at times where it's just self-explanatory. You get who's going to win. And I think that's what it is. Like you said a minute ago, we need that surprise element back into the Royal Rumble.
Do you feel like that for this year's Royal Rumble? Do you feel like there's any kind of surprise element whatsoever going into it? Do you feel like there's a good stacked amount of people that could possibly win? Or do you feel like it's really down to maybe two or three people?
Rumors have spoken about Brock Lesnar, but genuinely speaking, I am a little bit on edge for both. I mean, for the males, I feel like I kind of may have an idea, but maybe that's just me. But for the women's, also, it is a toss-up in my opinion. Do you think there's a defined winner for both Rumbles this year?
Maybe two or three for both. And that makes me a little sad. But then again, I understand we're in a pandemic and it's not the way it should be. And we don't have as much stars or star power as it was before. But you know what? I'm going to call bullshit on that as well, too, because the WWE has unlimited amount of star power from any brand they could cherry pick out of and make their number one cat or number two cat or number three or four or five, number six cat out there. But they refuse to. Everybody's on an equal playing field. Everybody's on a fucking equal level. If they're not on an equal level, then they're just bumped up because of a championship. I don't think Roman Reigns straight up is bigger than Drew McIntyre. I don't think Drew McIntyre is bigger than Roman Reigns at this moment in time. I think both of them sell tickets. If tickets were to come back again, I think both of them sell tickets. And I think both of them have star power, but is anyone like The Rock or Austin right now? No, not at all. I don't feel like anybody has that edge or is hungry enough to take the brass ring.
Yeah, I see that, and that's a topic that you've said various times, and you feel very strong about that, and it's true. Everybody feels on a straight, even playing level. It doesn't feel impactful. Like, I felt that maybe we had that with Roman with this whole Jey Uso storyline. I will not lie to you, but it just fell. You know, the storyline fell as he feels. He feels regular. So even to a certain extent, you used to get a little bit of that in NXT, but I feel that's been kind of lost a little bit as well in NXT with what's going on right now. But
and I remember specifically 2 years ago, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, I was there at the Rumble when, you know, you saw Pete Dunne and Adam Cole show up, and you would think that these are huge fucking additions to the Rumble, but at the end of the day, they just look like they were just bodies just to be there, just to be thrown out, and I hate that because these are huge names. These are names that you're like, oh my God, are they pulling the trigger?
Word. It's not.
They're just cannon fodder for you people to throw out at the end of the day, because I'll be straight up right now. When I look at the Men's Royal Rumble, I see maybe two or three people winning. If you want to take the equation that Brock is not out there, okay, two. I see maybe a Keith Lee winning, but I highly doubt it. Exactly. That's like highly doubtful. And then the second person would have to be coming from SmackDown, Daniel Bryan, but even he is not as hot as he was before. And that's just like you said before on the chat the other day, that wrong place, wrong time. You know, this is like 4 years in the making. This should have happened 4 years ago, 5 years ago with the Yes Movement. But now we're fucking playing catch up.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, I agree with you. Like I said, now they're trying because they don't have much to do, so they're just like scrambling up whatever they can, and that's why kind of they want to do Roman and Bryan's at WrestleMania, and I don't want to see that. I'm sure some of the crowd doesn't want to see that because it should have been pulled a long time ago, that trigger. Honestly, if somebody wins it, I think it probably will be somebody from SmackDown. So I don't want to say my name just yet, or it doesn't
matter. Go for it.
I don't know. I really could probably see, since he's hot right now, Shinsuke Nakamura, maybe, possibly, in some way, getting another run. I mean, I don't know. I can see it.
All right. Here's my problem with that one. Am I not on board with that because I'm a jaded fan, or it's because they haven't done anything for Shinsuke Nakamura? When I say a jaded fan, I mean, the only reason why they're going to make him win is because they definitely want to keep him in the contract so it doesn't go to AEW or New Japan. So so they're going to hand him this but not actually do anything with it like last time. Or do I feel like even given the ball, they're still not going to do anything with him? Like, he's just going to get that main event spot, do nothing with it, lose, and be sent to obscurity again?
I mean, yes and no, but I feel maybe this is just me finally wanting to see Nakamura being used right on the main roster. You don't bring back the man's old music for no reason. He has his old original entrance song, his theme song. I feel maybe this is just me being dumb. Maybe this is just me like, fool me, please. Give me what I want. But 50-50, I agree with you. It definitely would be if he wins it, just to just like not let him go anywhere, like kind of they did with the Revival when they threw the straps on them real quick so they won't leave. So, but I over from Raw, I don't know, man. Raw is just in such a weird place. I don't want to say AJ, I don't. It. That's why I genuinely say I'm kind of like, eh, we've heard Brock, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm genuinely kind of surprised for this one.
I wouldn't mind AJ winning, but I'm looking also at the champions. So, you know, the Rumble is only as good as your champion as well, too. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have a Shinsuke Nakamura win the Rumble again. Do you have him go against Roman? Now, is that a card that could really, on paper, it sounds great. I have to think of both go, but is a story there? Is a story? Are the promos there?
Oh, wow. Promos would be there for me, like the tribal chief in here in Nakamura.
Shut up.
Like, yeah, I would love it. But so just quick question. Should this have been kind of like the Royal Rumble? Which one was it? It wasn't 20. Was it 2020 where it was 30 men against Roman Reigns, or was it? Or
I think that was
where the strap was
2017 or 2018.
2017? Okay, well, that's way back. Yeah. So do you think maybe a time right now would have demanded for something like that?
Due to Drew recovering from COVID-19, I thought that that was the direction they were going. And I would have been interested with that, but at the same time, here's a caveat too. You're discrediting SmackDown then. So that would only be for that championship title, but that's a Raw championship if you want to go by fucking draft standards.
Yeah.
So it would make no sense. I don't know, man. If the titles are unified, I would have said definitely, but since that's not the case right now, I think they're just doing what they gotta do just to do it. I still feel like they're working themselves in a hole, bro. I'm gonna be real honest. I feel like they may have a plan for Roman. They don't have a plan for Drew whatsoever.
What do you think the plan for Roman is?
I really feel like Roman's head to WrestleMania is gonna drop the title at Mania. I think he's only gonna drop it to somebody that can carry it and carry SmackDown the way it's been carried lately. It would be immaculate storytelling to me if Jey Uso won the Royal Rumble and challenged Roman at WrestleMania. That would be immaculate long-term storytelling that would be fantastic. Here's the thing, though. Those cracks haven't hit. Jey Uso has been fucking loyal to a fucking T, and it just makes no sense at this point in time right now. But I don't know, man. I don't see Shinsuke doing it. I don't see... Big E would have been a greater person to challenge Roman as well, too, but I don't see that happening. So it's fucking weird. And with Drew, you got Goldberg next.
Yeah, that's no direction there. That's no fucking direction. The only reason why we're getting Goldberg is because we can't get Brock. I don't know what's the situation going on with Brock. I don't know. I haven't really deep dove into that or, like, inquire. But I genuinely feel that if Brock was accessible, we would have got Brock and Drew at the Rumble. Honestly.
I just don't see the need for it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't... For either. Mm-hmm. For either. At this moment in time, I feel like both of these characters are Brock and Goldberg are very stale for the prog right now. They're past their time. They don't need to be around whatsoever. A person that you're not using whatsoever, that would have been a great asset to Raw specifically as a heel or a babyface. I know you like him more than I do these days, Braun Strowman.
Yeah, but what has really Strowman done since losing?
Nothing.
Strap,
screaming.
So, yeah. Exactly. So that's why, I mean, as much as I love Strowman, I wouldn't even want to see him in this situation. The prime person to be in this situation should have been, because you started kind of showing those cracks on Raw. It should have been Keith Lee. If your storytelling would have been on par with what you were trying to do and with what Keith Lee was promised that we were going to get on the main roster, it should have been Drew and Keith Lee right now at the Rumble.
Or the other story that they were looming but hasn't done anything whatsoever, which I really feel like that was the real direction somehow. And I think it was going to be a throwaway match, and I think we would have all been happy if it was a throwaway match. Drew and Sheamus. I think that was the direction they were going for.
Yeah.
And it would have been a great match. Yeah. I know people are hot and cold on Sheamus. I understand why. Sometimes it's just like not people's cup of tea. But just to have those two fucking brutes beat the shit out of each other would have been great.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been freaking epic, bro. Just seeing those two brutes going to town, fucking Highlander style.
Like, I would have loved it.
That would have been phenomenal. Yeah, that would have been phenomenal. But once again, storytelling fell flat. And sure, I don't know who's pulling the triggers out there, but it's not clicking to them, and they're not getting it. They had this match for Drew could have had direction months in advance, but we're here where we get Goldberg. So
ultimate question is, who goes over in that match, though?
Man, this sucks. I see Goldberg going over, bro. As much as I don't want to say it, but you do point. You made an interesting point when we were talking about this off the podcast. I see Goldberg going over, and then maybe with what you said, I see The Miz cashing in on him that night. So, but it just sucks with Drew, because where does it leave Drew? You know, Drew arguably was carrying Raw through this whole pandemic. So you're really going to push him out to Goldberg? So it's tricky.
Unless, and this is very stupid too, but then you look at that situation. You got to look at all the situations that would unpack after this. So let's say the Sheamus situation is still there. That could be your entryway to WrestleMania as a feud with Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. Am I excited for that? Not really, because the title's not on the line, so the feud is kind of pointless at that point. And I, as much as it will be a great hard-hitting match, I don't think either of them need that. And then if Miz goes over with Goldberg, I mean, hilarious, fun, but who do you put him in a fucking title match with at Mania? Like, what makes sense with The Miz in 2021? The only person that I could see, maybe Keith Lee. And another person that I hear that Vince is very fucking high on. Literally, very fucking high on, Matt Riddle.
Bro, he's high on Riddle, but for all the wrong reasons. I heard that he's very high on Riddle. We've heard that this was his... I see Shawn Michaels and Matt Riddle. But... he's not high on him for the star that he can be, because we know Matt Riddle is a stud with all that work at Evolve. He's high on him for all the wrong reasons, where he's just seeing him as a comical lunatic, where he just has him going around with a bag of donuts. Oh, take my bronuts, bro. That's all it is. He says, I like him, but he's very funny, so that's why I give him TV time. That's kind of discouraging if you're Matt Riddle, in my opinion. So if... in a weird way, I know they want to work up Brian and Roman. This is just me. If anything, maybe, possibly, in an alternate universe, some way, somehow, you can revisit Miz and Brian.
I mean, yeah.
Some way, somehow.
I would be happy with that one, but for Brian to win the Rumble and not face Roman would be such a fucking letdown, because he's a better champion. Yeah. Like, you want to make a statement, you want to make an example, especially for your brand. It makes you look like you're tucking your tail between your legs and going after The Miz.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I see that.
But the story's there.
The story is there. That's why I'm looking at it. Like you said, the story is there. The story is kind of there on both sides, but It's a tricky situation, because now you got the Kevin Owens, and maybe, like you said earlier, Jey Uso's been loyal to a T. Maybe some way, somehow, they can spin a web. But no, we're getting Roman and I digress on that. We're getting Roman and Owens at Royal Rumble.
Last man standing match.
Okay, yeah, last man standing. Yeah, I digress on that. Okay, because I was gonna say maybe they could spin a web and have him be like, you know, nah. They're already fighting, so yeah.
Why do you feel about that match? Do you feel like this is another job out for Owens?
Yes and no. For some weird reason, nah.
You can see Owens going over?
That Owens is hot right now, bro. Like, a lot of people are loving themselves some Owen, and some people are like, finally. But he has been looking strong up until Rumble, and usually the guy that looks strong is the one that usually ends up losing. So it's gonna be a hell of a match. That's all I can say. Maybe in just some weird way, I would love to see NXT Kevin Owens and have him with the strap again and run SmackDown for a bit, but we're not gonna get that. So yeah, what do you think about this match? How do you feel?
I don't
about
know,
this
man,
match?
Because
Owens is in another position now where if he loses this match, what the fuck does he do going toward Mania? And I feel like he's always in this situation where he looks great right before Mania. He has these great matches at either Elimination Chamber or whatever the fucking little bullshit pay-per-views they do. Like Roadblock or whatever the fuck they do. Payback and shit like that. All these little shows that they have right before Mania, he looks amazing. And then for some reason Armenia comes around and he's in like a nonsensical fucking some kind of fucking fight or promotion. The only time that I ever seen Owens that hot or this hot going into WrestleMania maybe was the Shane McMahon angle, and even then that was a coming out party for Daniel Bryan to return again.
Yeah, to return again and to write off Shane McMahon TV time. So it wasn't nothing.
Because not even last year, Seth Rollins and Owens, that had nothing built with it whatsoever. And whether you could blame it on Seth with his character, whether you could blame it on Owens, whether you could blame it on how quiet it was at WrestleMania last year. And I don't know, but it just, I don't know. Something's not clicking with Owens to me. Maybe it's just he's too much of a good guy, bro. Maybe we need fucking dirtbag Owens, you know, throwing snot on people again. Kevin Steen back again. I need that dumb queen in my life.
Oh man, I would love to see that. That would be great, but I don't think they would roll that route. I think Kevin Owens is such a yes man right now, and I think he's just so into this baby face role neutral, because I, you know, he has face, but he's just so neutral right now that if they were to see that, the fans, the WWE universe, I don't think they would accept it one freaking bit, bro. And then Owens would be really fucked, in my opinion.
Let's get into the elephant in the room right here, which is the Women's Royal Rumble match. Women's wrestling in general, bro, I feel like it's taken such a fucking swan dive, at least in the main roster, and how long it was 3 years ago compared to where it is now. It's so fucking sad. Like, and I can't even say it's a talent. I just say it's a direction. Maybe it never really was a talent, bro. Like, I'm just starting to think more and more now on the decisions the WWE is making. And, you know, we go back to the Attitude Era. Like, people like to say, oh, the talent wasn't there. Well, talent was there. It's just you were putting them in some fucked up positions. Like, of course, yeah, your Tori Wilsons and your Stacey Keiblers are not the talent that we're looking for. But, your Trishas, your Litas, your Molly Hollies, you know, they were there. Your Jazz, she was there. Victoria, she was there. Mickey James, she was there. And the talent was there, the match quality is there, the story was there. It's just they just didn't give a fuck about them whatsoever. And I feel like we're back at that now. I feel like, well, we'll let you wrestle, guys. Ha ha, hee hee. You had a main event in WrestleMania. Ha ha, hee hee. But you're still below the card. And you're still going to do dumb fucking storylines. Like, the dumbest storyline that we have right now. I thought it was Asuka, but no, this one takes the cake for me, honestly. I understand where they're going with this, but you have fucking Lacey Evans trying to pull some fucking Anna Nicole Smith angle on Ric Flair, taking him away from Charlotte. Okay, I get the situation. I get it completely. But here's the thing. Not too long ago, like a month or two or 3 months ago, you had her husband and her daughter parading on the front lines with her, having network specials about how she's devoted to her family and how she's a military wife and how much her family means to her and everything like that. And now you're doing a fucking I'm a grind up on Ric Flair angle. I'm gonna show my hoo-ha on TV angle. Like, come on now. Like, what the fuck are you doing right now, man? And I'm high on Lacey. I know people give Lacey Evans a lot of shit. I'm pretty high on Lacey Evans. I think she could be something a lot better than what she's doing right now.
Why are you high on Lacey Evans? I used to be high on Lacey Evans, but all she has is a fucking mean right hook.
From an old school wrestling standpoint, she could be a great heel. I think she's doing everything right. In my opinion, if we would have never saw her family, on TV or her husband on TV. Yeah. This would have been a fantastic angle. This would have been a good angle for her to sink her teeth into, because she has that villainous role, like that old school 80s heat. And that's good for some people. She could really sink her teeth into that. But the fact that you mix so much reality into wrestling these days, you kind of you messed up yourself with kayfabe, bro. You fucked yourself up now. So it's like, it's not believable. And as far as why I feel she could be better, I feel like she hasn't gotten the opportunity to take the ball with the right people. I think the only people that she's taking the ball with have kind of buried her. Like that Baron Corbin, Lacey Evans, Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch angle. That was horrible for her. She didn't need to be on that fucking level right there. She needed to be gradually built up. They rushed her too fast, and then she floundered.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to tell you as well. Two things. I mean, I was very high on Lacey from NXT. They called her up too fast. This Southern Belle gimmick, this stuff, I'm better than you, it's not going to work on the main roster. Usually gimmicks like this don't really work on the main roster. It can work if you take away that little classy, I'm not saying make her classless, but you know, you have an angle where you could just deep dive into. She is a military woman. Just off the rip, you could have said, I'm better than you because I have discipline. Maybe this is just me, but you could have just, you know, exuded that, did that in a way better way and bring her up. As, I mean, she came up as a heel, but
was it a strong heel?
I'm better than you, darling. No. Come up straight, military woman, bro. I'm about to smack you with the Scud missile. Like, fuck,
you
like,
could have had her with the Forgotten Sons.
Bro, I thought about that. I thought about that. Should you not have her as a forgotten with the Forgotten Son, bro, and make her kind of like the leader of the Forgotten Son,
right there,
bro? That is phenomenal.
Every son needs a mother.
That's why she's out.
Yes,
but yeah, no. So, I mean, I'm still hoping, but she's even transitioned into the role of taking sultry pictures on social media. Like, if you look at her now, she's just taking the sultry pictures. And I agree. Women's wrestling was so high back then, not too far ago. Wrestling in general was high. And women were main eventing Hell in a Cell. They were getting a shot at main events. And now we're here. We're like, okay, yeah, we'll you're lucky if you get a spot. Or we'll give you a spot on the show and just make it quick.
It's sad.
So, yeah, it is. And then you have Bianca Belair, which you could have definitely put her over multiple times. You got her doing fucking triathlons with Bayley and SmackDown.
What was it? In European, what changed? Because I felt like we were at the cusp of something when Paige came up. You know, we had the Charlotte and the Becky Lynch and the Sasha's come up. Do you feel like too much too fast at one point? Do you feel that they banked everything on Charlotte and Sasha for like a year and maybe it soured some people?
I don't think too fast. I think that's good. Sometimes you need a blaze in a full blink of an eye to start a revolution like that did. I just think that, like you said, they banked on the four women of Pioneer, basically, of Pioneers of female wrestling, and you just really didn't have the supporting cast for them. Then they just started mingling amongst each other. Sasha versus Charlotte, Sasha versus Charlotte. And some people started getting bored of it. I started getting bored of it. I don't know about you. They really didn't have the supporting cast. If those were your four primetime women, you needed a better supporting cast. And I feel that that started exposing what they were trying to do.
What do you think? Maybe. I mean, that could be it as well, too. I remember 2017, like, they had a lot of good women. Like, you had your Alexa Blisses, your Naomi's, all, like, prime. Like, you know, Naomi was your champion at that time as well, too. Orlando, WrestleMania. Alexa Bliss was doing her best work. You know, Nia Jax was still coming into her own. Bayley was on top of the fucking world. Sasha Banks was on top of the world. Charlotte was being the best heel ever. I feel like you had a great supporting cast in 2017, but slowly something happened. Something fucking changed.
But if you recap those names, what's a Nia Jax? What's a Naomi compared to these four women? Maybe it's just me. I'm looking at it different, but I feel that the cast that they had, if this was definitely like, you know, I mean, Naomi's talented as hell. I'm not taking away nothing from her, but star power compared to those names. Maybe if you would have had just
like I said, different players. Maybe if we would have had a Rhea Ripley in there and ejected, a Shayna Baszler at that moment interjected, a Raquel Gonzalez. I mean, of course, this is before their time, but I think those women would have definitely been way better supporting for
or
the
maybe
women,
even just the characters themselves. Because, yeah, you say what's a Nia Jax, but I remember one of my favorite matches of Nia Jax was in NXT, two of them actually. Her against Bayley, when Bayley had to use a guillotine to choke her out. Like, that's one of my favorite Bayley matches right there, overcoming adversity. And it was a very simple match from Nia Jax. She was the bulldozer. Bayley needs to get over the hump. I think simple storytelling is missing, and everybody overthinks things. I remember Nia Jax and Asuka, and how Asuka had to, like, fucking kick her to obliterate to put her down. That was a great match right there. I still say today that Nia Jax was great with Ronda Rousey in her first match. I think Nia Jax looked fucking great in that match as the bulldozer, as someone that is there to take the poundings and give the poundings and whatnot. And I think maybe giving too much freedom to what the character could be, or maybe too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to the characters, has really hurt a lot of females. I mean, when you look at Sasha Banks, yeah, we could say that Sasha was doing this, that, and this from 2016 to 2020, but I still say it wasn't until 2020 when she came back with the blue hair. That was 20, right, or 19?
I want to say
when she came back with the 19. When she came back with the blue hair, she came into her own. Like, that's where that boss character came back. That's where everything that we loved about Sasha, the hot outfits, the back talking, the smack talking, came back. And look at her now. Like, yeah, Meteora Banks is there, but at the same time, the character, she's fucking white hot, man, and I love it. Like, I love the fact that she's herself. Bayley, it took Bayley a long time to shed the little hugger attitude and do something a little bit more in-depth for her character. Is it a little lackadaisical right now? Yeah, but when it first appeared, like 2 years ago, it was great. I don't know. I just don't know what their direction are with the characters.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I think that was one of the hottest turns, and I loved fucking heel Bayley. I love heel Bayley.
Alexa Bliss wasn't doing nothing.
Yeah,
she was doing nothing for 2 years. 2 years, fucking Nikki Cross in this tag team division. It took her to take a chance to do some shit with Bray Wyatt, not knowing where the fuck that was gonna go, to fulfill some geek on the fucking computer's fantasy, to do so. And now look here, she's one of the hottest things again, back in women's wrestling, doing weird shit, throwing fireballs at people.
Right? I would have to agree, because during the 2017 time frame, Kairi Sane was still in NXT, right? Okay. I'm thinking, but it's like you said, that there's no direction in characters, because you call Kairi Sane up. Kairi Sane could have been a hot,
hell yeah,
hot baby face, and you didn't capitalize on her, and that she just left your company with multiple injuries.
Look at Asuka, one of the hottest characters at NXT, strong, ferocious female that comes out and kills people, undefeated record, and now on Raw, booty booty booty, yeah yeah yeah, speaking broken English to Alexa. Alexa, stop, please. I'm like, what? You can speak English just fine. What the fuck you doing right now? Like, why what are we doing here?
Once again, it's just berating, like, little ethnical characters, if you would say. There's no direction right now in the women's wrestling, but one. It's gonna fall back to Charlotte Flair once again.
That's where it's going. I mean, for a while it was Becky for a year. And even Becky was falling short too.
Becky, it fell short because maybe I'm wrong, but you didn't pull the trigger on Shayna Baszler when it should have. You could have kept it spicy.
And I think the chase was better for Becky than an actual being champion.
Yeah, of course. You have your old school, ugly looking, rugged heel. And bro, no disrespect to Shayna Baszler. She pulls hot tail. You know, no disrespect to her. But I'm saying, she's gritty. She's rough. She tumbles. She takes the hit. She gives the hit. And then you got Becky Lynch, which is kind of like, of course she was your Stone Cold female. That would have been a phenomenal chase, man. So,
what are you looking at the Rumble for this year for the females? We'll end off on that one right there. How do you feel about the Rumble for the females? You said there's some people that you're interested in.
I wouldn't mind seeing a Bayley once again being on top, because I do enjoy Bayley over this whole look. Sasha's cool. Sasha's hot. But I prefer Bayley coming out just being that, you know, egotistical, sarcastic, mocking heel as she did. And I enjoyed those times. Like, people were like, I'm tired of this. No, I enjoyed that because she's just trolling. You know, she was like Kenny Omega before Kenny Omega right now. So I enjoyed that. I would like to see a Bayley go over again. I think it's time. Maybe let's capitalize on Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair is hot. I know they're kind of big. They just gave her a Chronicle. But I won't go based on the Chronicle because Shayna Baszler had a Chronicle. Had a Chronicle. Look where she's at. Ricochet had a Chronicle, and he's receiving probably one of the hottest freaking Styles Clash I've seen in a while. So those two right now stick out. Let me see. Who do you think, and who do you feel? Who would you like?
I would like
to see
Bianca, but I don't see her doing it. But I think it'll be fresh. I think that's something we need, is like a fresh feeling going into the new year, especially for the female division. I don't know, bro. I don't see anybody from NXT besides maybe Rhea Ripley maybe at winning, but that's only to further storytelling purposes with Charlotte. But that means Charlotte has to go over Asuka again, which is fucking stupid.
I don't see a left field winner besides Ripley or those three. I think they may not pull the trigger yet on Belair, but that's just me, because I think Belair is phenomenal. We agree on that. But it's probably going to be Ripley or Bayley, because I don't think we're going to get a call up from NXT. Just, oh my God, Raquel Gonzalez, I'd be all in, you know, or I would be all in, bro. It's wheels are not going to churn fast enough, because I don't think we're going to see Io Shirai in the Rumble either. So yeah, I was just thinking if we could maybe see an EO, but those are my picks.
Let me throw these at you then. Do you see any surprise guests? Mm-hmm. Maybe not legends, but anybody surprisingly showing up at the Rumble this year for both men's and women's?
Surprises. We will see a lot of NXT, like you said. I think we'll see a lot of NXT on both sides. I think we'll get maybe a Rhea Ripley. We'll get a Raquel Gonzalez just to chase her. I don't think we'll see a Dakota Kai. For the men, I feel like we'll see Tommaso Ciampa for sure. Maybe
a Dexter Lumis. I can see Dexter Lumis,
I can see a Dexter Lumis. Just for fodder, I can see a Cameron Grimes. Thinking about anybody else. Maybe a Damian Priest as well. I for some weird reason.
Yeah, I'd be happy with Damian Priest as well. Do you think Killer Cross will make an appearance? You don't think so?
No, he will not. I think it's... No. I think Cross is going to go back to the... All roads for Cross lead to the NXT title once again, man. I think that's where they lead to. I think they're not going to put him in this match where he can possibly injure himself again being thrown over the top rope. That's why he got all these little jobber matches in NXT right now, because all roads lead to that title. So we're not going to see him. We'll probably maybe see a Bronson Reed.
I wouldn't be mad at it, because you're not doing anything else with him. Gargano?
Okay, would it... Nah, I think Gargano right now is mentoring Austin Theory. I think they got big things for Austin Theory. Candice LeRae?
Maybe. I wouldn't mind it. Like, I think the women's Rumble needs more heads than anything else.
Any UK call?
I'm going to say this, but I feel like it's going to be a slap in his face. Yes. Yes, I see Walter showing up, but it's a slap in his face again, because he's going to get thrown out like Survivor Series, just jobbed out.
He probably will get jobbed out, bro. And it sucks, man. It sucks because Walter could have been so freaking big on the main roster, and they dropped him out. You're right.
Just,
what about
just imagine, just there's gonna be no fans in attendance, but just imagine, just a clash between Walter and Keith Lee. That would have been just great.
Yeah, that would have been phenomenal, bro. I was gonna say Dragunov, but
they're like, who the fuck him, is so.
Yeah, people are not ready for that. Maybe a Piper Niven.
I would. I honestly, Piper Niven from UK. I don't want to see what's the champions. It's not Kaylee. Is it Kaylee Ray? I don't want to see her because that means Kaylee nothing Ray, for her title. I don't think any champion should be in the Royal Rumble. I've always disliked that. I think I really feel like we're gonna get Taya Valkyrie as a surprise. I think that's gonna be the big surprise of the females.
Yeah. Oh. And she wins it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Taya Valkyrie is a great pick. I would love for her to win it. It would be unprecedented, basically how Ric Flair won the Rumble at one point, win the title. I think it will be unprecedented on that length, on that feat right there alone. But I don't know how much trust Vince has in Taya to win the Rumble and then say, I'm going to be the next champion.
Yeah. I just said it because, you know me, I like different stuff coming out of nowhere. And there's no much direction right now, you know, with the women. So we'll see, though. But definitely she's going to show up. I agree with you 1,000%.
Do you see anybody on the men's side that you can see from any company right now saying, oh, we're going to make a surprise?
That's a good one. Naito.
Nah, let me stop.
Does a little cartwheel in the ring.
Bro, it ain't ready for that point. No, nah. The WWE universe is not ready for that. It's definitely not a Jay White because Jay White is still locked up with Ibushi and they've been teasing that for March. Mm-hmm. Left field. Marty Scurll, bro. I could see a Marty Scurll.
How much backlash you think WWE will get, though?
Yeah, they would, but do they really care?
No.
I don't think they do, and this is the company, like we spoke outside of the podcast, where, you know, you've covered up multiple incidents, you know, even... we don't want to get into it, but you've covered up a lot of debauchery, and you got Velveteen Dream. You bring in Marty Scurll... They don't care, bro.
Yeah.
You got Riddle. You changed Riddle's name because his name popped up in the scandals. And he's still on TV offering bro nuts. So, yeah. I can see a Marty Scurll popping up. What about you? For a minute.
Yeah, I'm thinking that right now, I don't see anybody besides like maybe past legends. Maybe. Other than that, like I don't even see any big legends shop showing up. Like, I would love like left field stuff. Like, Tajiri showing up out of nowhere, even though it means nothing.
You just want to see the old school people and get transported back to the good old times.
But it won't happen, though. It's totally fine. You know what it is? It was that one Royal Rumble where Kurt Hennig came and started perfect flexing everybody. It looked phenomenal.
Oh, man. So you just want to see, like, so for the men's and maybe for the women's. Well, no, for the men. You want to see a nice blend of maybe some NXT call-ups and some legends?
If they
reminisce.
If the NXT legends, if the NXT stars.
Oh yeah, there are some legends out there.
If it means something, like if you're gonna bring up, I would die, bro. I would die if I saw my man T-Bar show up, get eliminated, and then my man Dijakovic gets called into the Rumble.
Bro, don't, dude. Yo, pull a Manic on the Rumble. Like, you eliminated T-Bar, and here comes Dijakovic. Yes, I would be for that.
I would be too. I would be all off for that, but that's not gonna happen. Like, if Damian Priest comes up, I hope it's a good showing for Damian Priest and not like an Adam Cole where, oh, we were happy for you to show up. That's about it.
What about Santo Escobar? Or is it too early?
I don't think it's too early. I don't think they see him. I don't think Vince sees him. I think Vince saw like this Mexican like resurgence and gave up on it so fast. Bro, he was like,
Andrade,
Andrade
left a sour taste in his mouth.
Yeah, fucking what's my man's name?
Garza.
Angel Garza fucking left a bad taste in his mouth. Dominic Mysterio left a bad taste in his mouth.
Bro, we're gonna see that storyline, because I was reading that, you know, Mysterio said, "I don't got a problem eliminating Dominic for the Rumble."
Yes, let me do it.
But you see, that movement was led wrong, because I mean, even though Escobar, Ecuador was doing his thing in NXT at this time when the movement was going on, but can you imagine the Legado del Fantasma stable with legit. I mean, because Mendoza is legit. You know, I don't know about Joaquin, but
he's not legit.
Yeah, that's what he's not, right? Yeah. But, bro, it would have been Santo Escobar, Andrade, Garcia, and then Mendoza. Bro, for what the stable is, bringing back the resurgence of Lucha Libre. Oh, man, bro. Wet dreams, bro. Like, dead ass. Like,
wet dreams. It would be great, but, like, I hate to talk about WWE sometimes, because in my head, I feel like I gotta think stupid in order for it to make sense.
But that's the thing, though. We shouldn't, but it's what the WWE Universe has accepted, and that's why the company does that, because the WWE Universe doesn't complain. You can give me the most dumbest title change, Leon Ruff, and I'll gobble it up and I'll eat it. Bro, I laugh because all those people that were coming at our neck for saying, no, give Leon Ruff some time, he's gonna bring credibility to that title. Where's Leon Ruff right now? Where's the title at? Like, you get what I'm saying? This is the way. Bro, but that turn is coming. Also, Theory, Gargano. I think he's just nurturing him, and I think they have high hopes for Theory. That's why he's at where he's at.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be a one to look out for this year for Rumble. It's going to be next Sunday, January 31st, so everybody tune in. Definitely we'll give our reactions afterwards as well, too. The glitz, the glam. Maybe we'll do a little Instagram like pop-up to see what our reactions were. Very live. Living color.
Ooh, when Ty Valkyrie comes out, y'all can see our faces. We can get our best Royal Rumble dude that went that ain't Royal Rumble. WrestleMania when Undertaker lost. Like,
I will find that kid and I will make sure he's on the podcast with us.
But you know what? Overall, I think it's the product is where it's at. But I think both Rumbles have a feel that nobody can really put a caveat on it on who's going to win. So I think that makes it exciting. For all the, I mean, the card is still subject to change. Of course, there's only four fights on it. The men's rumble, the women's rumble, Roman Reigns versus Owens, and McIntyre versus Goldberg. We're probably going to get some more storyline and chunk added to that this week coming up. But I think it's an exciting time for the rumble matches.
Definitely. You know, we still have things with Big E. We still have the women's titles that are still on the line as well, too. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do, brother. This week we have AEW, NXT, MLW. Anything that you're excited for?
Ah, man, you know what? I've actually been slacking on MLW because we saw the resurrection of Mil Muertes. Yes. I still haven't seen it. Yeah, like I still haven't even jumped on that. And I'm like kicking myself in the ass for that. So I want to watch that. Your boy ACH had a fucking phenomenal match out there. And man, I want to watch this match, Road to New Beginnings. I gotta go watch it on the New Japan World. So, the product is good outside WWE. I'll say it again,
bro.
So.
Puerto Rican's taking over the world, man. We got man, Mil, Ricky Banderas, and MLW. We got fucking a whole bunch of Puerto Ricans in AEW. We got Damian Priest and fucking Karrion Kross in NXT. We taking over the world, bro.
Bro, Puerto Ricans is coming back from the freaking, what's his name? The dude that was all cut up in his head. I forgot his name. I forgot his name right now. He's a freaking icon out here.
Abdul the Butcher?
No, not Abdul the Butcher. Carlito's Pop.
Oh, Carlos Colon.
Carlos Colon. There you go.
You said cut up all over his head. Like,
bro, because his forehead is cut up too. If you look at
it, he's all fucked up.
But no, that ass, bro. Puerto Ricans are like really, really dominating. So, but aside from the Rumble and everything, what are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to some Impact, some MLWs? What's up?
I'm going to tune into Raw tomorrow to see what the fallout is going to be, or at least what's the go-home show to Rumble. I may just see some tidbits just to see if there's a good match involved. I'm not going to put 100% focus onto it. I just want to see what road they're going to lead to, especially when it has to do with Drew and Goldberg, to see if there's a fallout there and get a feeler. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry.
Maybe Randy in his little Burt mask. That'd be great too.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm so sorry. Hey, we might see The Fiend come out. So yeah, you know, it might be. Nah, I don't know why when you were talking about Goldberg and Drew McIntyre, I was like, we're probably gonna get fucking Drewberg.
We got that already. But
with... Yeah, Gilbert came out. Bro, so I don't know. I may tune in as well because usually you got me on board with the go home shows. I mean, I wasn't going to jump on it, but you kind of swindled me right now, so I may check SmackDown as well to see.
Yeah, SmackDown is a definite this week just to see what they do with that. You'll probably get a good inkling what's going to be the final people in that Rumble. And then NXT, you know, been fucking solid with the classic, with the Dusty Rhodes classic on both sides, women and males.
Yes. I honestly, switching from AEW to NXT was the best thing I ever did because... some good solid matchups. Excuse me. The women's inaugural tournament was phenomenal. I think Toni Storm and Mercedes Martinez and Katie Cannizzaro and this chick. I would call her fake Ember Moon. Her match was cool. Even though Katie Cannizzaro botched whatever she was trying to do, we saw Io Shirai come back and attack Mercedes Martinez. So that's something they're going to explore. Bro, jobbed him out, but my man Tyler Rush. Check out for Tyler Rust in NXT. Big stud right there coming up. But yeah, NXT is good as well, man.
AEW is going to have to pull something out their ass for me to get there on Wednesday. Something has to happen.
I agree. And as much as I like to talk shit about WWE's storytelling, AEW is showing that flaw. They don't know how to tell a singles storyline or when to capitalize or how to tell a storyline. All they know, I love tag team wrestling. All they know is tag team wrestling. That's it, bro. You can't coast by on tag team wrestling. You have to start developing your single players. And they're failing at storytelling.
Definitely. They are. So much to look forward to this week. Rumble's coming our way as well, too. We'll definitely have a post show after that as well, guys. Jay, where can people find you if they want to get down and dirty? If they want to fucking talk about D-Generation X and how X-Buck was a god? Where can people find you?
This is a god. I'm looking at Marty Scroll right now on ROH. Because I got the TV going. D-Generation X. If y'all want to talk to me about some wrestling and who might show up at the Rumble and if Marty Scrolls is a terrible fucking guy to be on the product, hit me up at my Instagram and my Twitter, which is SunEater1A. SunEater, the number one and the letter A. That is all together. That's my Twitter and my Instagram. You can find me there if you guys want to talk about that. Also, your boys just did another podcast before this one. We're putting in that twerk for you guys. If you guys love MMA, you know, UFC 257 just went down. We're hot, fresh, still over 24 hours off of that. Conor McGregor returns, Return of the Mac. Oh my God. You know, we did a review for that. Check it out. That's on the Kimura Chronicles. Val and I, we spoke about everything, the good, the bad, what happened. Go over there. That's on Instagram. That's on Twitter. That's on Facebook, The Kimura Chronicles. And that podcast is everywhere. Spotify, Anchors, iTunes. You hear me? Apple. There's another one that's on. iHeart, Pandora. It's everywhere.
Yes.
It's everywhere. Yeah. Video games. If you guys love video games as much as we do, Black Switch Gaming, check it out. Val jumps on that. Our boy Jake jumps on that. And we talk about video games that has an Instagram, and that podcast is on Spotify and on Apple. That's where you can find me at. But if people want to talk to you about how Tyler Valkyrie is not going to show up, how Velveteen Dream is a bum and all his problems, and they want to talk to you about some Godzilla versus Kong, which you about to roll up on that on PCF. You know, I abbreviated it. I couldn't tell them. But where can people find you at?
Ooh, if you want to find out why I think Kona Reeves deserves the main event spot on NXT.
Yo, you brought a name I haven't heard in a minute. Kona Reeves.
Yes. If y'all want to hear why I think Dava Kato is going to fucking main event WrestleMania.
Yo, bro, that's the main event. Almost versus Dava Kato, yes. Bro, at WrestleMania.
King Kong versus Godzilla right there.
They're probably going to capitalize on that.
Of course,
bro.
They will.
I'm telling you, yeah.
If y'all want to hear why Big Show versus Aki Bono was the best sumo match ever, y'all can reach me at Twitter at Lucha Val Cisco and Instagram at Val Cisco _. Pop Culture Fanatics, a podcast where we talk about everything from pop culture, from movies, TV shows, anime, horror stuff, video game stuff, everything all inclusive. Hit us up at Pop Culture Fanatics, PCF Podcast on Twitter, also on Instagram and Facebook as well, too. Yeah, man. And bro, we are taking over. All four podcasts are on the line this week. We're going to be throwing it hard for you guys. So like, subscribe. Rate, review, lick it if you can, touch it, do whatever you can do to it.
oh yeah, we getting our Rick Rude on for y'all.
John Raiden.
So, yeah, no, definitely, guys. But we appreciate it. You know, always interact with us. We love the interaction. We love the back and forth. Hit the like, hit the follow, hit the subscribe. Ooh, recommend. Throw out there forward. You know, if you got the buddy that likes wrestling the MMA, let them know. Like, yo, bro, these two crazy dudes from the Bronx. Check them out. Mm-hmm. You know, hit us up. Yeah, definitely.
I'll leave it a hashtag with this one. Hashtag Kona Reeves for life.
Yo, Kona Reeves is like the Hawaiian Johnny Bulldog.
You can give me Kona Reeves in a furry jacket all day. Joe Dirt status. Yes, let's do it. From us to y'all, right there. Go for it.
That's the hashtag right there. I'm about to switch that to my Twitter handle, bro. I'm Joe Dorian Fresh.
That's the new degree, fucking. deodorant.
Joe Dorian got that swag. Joe Dorian got
some new line cologne. Joe Dorian Fresh. Kona Reeves my swab.
I'm done.
Kota Ibushi.
Bro, Kota Ibushi is on some next level, yes. Bro. They can't compare to that when he came in with the
people. Everybody in Japan, bro, is on a different level with a style, bro. We're so behind of everything.
Oh, bro, yeah, you know, Phantasmo became 2-time champ.
Look at that.
Yeah, and recently over the weekend. I think it was Friday?
Yep.
So, yeah, man. I'm about to go watch some New Japan right now. Yo, we should start talking about more about New Japan on here.
We're going to be doing that next one, yeah. So we're going to go all New Japan, just go deep dive into New Japan world, all the goodness that it brings. Mm.
Yeah, I want to talk some Empire, some little Osprey and Great O'Connor.
Oh, no. That's why I leave you, sir.
It's been a pleasure, guys. Everybody take care. About
later, man. It's been a great from all of us to you guys. Take care.
All right. Later, man.